all know a guy who only occasionally shaves for big occasions, and it's because that occasional shave really hurts. It's the time of year for big occasions, and yet there he is, suffering with that cheap drugstore razor. Let's help him out. Henson Shaving's line of razors, built with aerospace precision, deliver a smooth shave your dad, brother, and even son can enjoy, eventually. With replacement blades just 10 cents each, you'll buy it once, and they'll use it for life. How's that for the perfect gift? Celebrate with 100 free blades on your first purchase, and no subscription headaches. HensonShaving.com/holiday.
Attention car shoppers. Right now at South Carolina Federal Credit Union, you can get a new or used auto loan and pay nothing until 2024. And no payments for 90 days means nothing out of pocket going into the new year. Plus, we have flexible rates and terms, so you could make the best financial choice for you. Learn more at scfederal.org/autoloans. That's scfederal.org/autoloans. Certain restrictions apply. Existing South Carolina federal credit loans are excluded.
What's going on, everybody? Eric Lindquist at Stokastic, coming to you with the PGA First Look AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am Edition. Hit that like button, subscribe button, notification bell as we get going. Goes a long way for me on this video. That way I can keep doing them for you here, covering PGA content the day before, live before lock, which you can definitely catch with Ben Raza, Jeff Ulrich, every single Wednesday night. So we're more than 24 hours out from that. Looking forward to that, though. You should be watching it as well, just like you should be checking out Prize Picks. Look at this. Oh, we have a beautiful green grass screen above me. We also have Prize Picks. Of course, they don't have anything available yet here because there's another three-course rotation. Tee times aren't out yet. So lots of things that are still to be determined here. I have looked a little bit at the weather. Looks like it's not going to be too bad, but we'll talk about how you can maybe account for some of that unpredictability. But Prize Picks, you can play NBA. Look at this. They have Taco Tuesday. You can sign up. $100 first match deposit bonus when you sign up using promo code Stokastic. You can get very advantageous plays for that. They do a free flex Friday where your first flex play up to like $20 is completely free. That's pretty awesome as well. So many great promotions. And then college basketball, soccer, CSGO, League of Legends. They'll have the PGA stuff here tomorrow when the tee times get announced. And we've got another three-course rotation, so I understand. While they are not there yet, but definitely be checking out Prize Picks. And last thing, we'll get it out of the way here now, too. We've got this beautiful Discord. Look at these lovely, smiling faces. You want to sign up. You need to sign up. Check out Luffy, myself, Ben Raza, Greg Ehrenberg, and Eitan Shander. Those are the five of us. The five amigos. More than three. That's cool. But you sign up using promo code ELINSIDER right here. That is going to get you the first week. I believe the first week is now 50% off. So very important difference there. 50% off, $20 a week. So $10 to just be able to check it out. I'm posting NBA bets, NFL bets constantly as well. Super Bowl coming up. Bet you want to be taking advantage of that. So now is a good time to go check out the Discord that we've got going. But super quick as we jump over. Again, I'm going to get so much better as we go along producing this myself, but let's get this off the screen. Let's go to, oh, see, now I already screwed up like my overlay. Everything needs to look good. I looked good once upon a time. There it is. Hello, I'm back. Let's jump to my notes. And these are pretty concise. I didn't have a ton of time to talk about specific course fits, but oh boy, oh boy. This AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am is a disaster. First of all, Pebble Beach is an incredible place. Probably my favorite property I've ever been to in my entire life. I've been fortunate enough to caddy, not at this event, but it's something called the TaylorMade Invitational, which has pretty close to the same rotation. They play Spyglass, they play Pebble Beach, and then what is the third one that I caddied at? I can't even remember off the top of my head, but I know that we did not caddy over at the Monterey Peninsula Country Club Shore Course, because that's where they had the California Am that I went and had my buddy get engaged at that golf course. My best friend, shout out Sach and Alyssa, my two favorite peoples, they got engaged at Monterey Peninsula Country Club during the Cal Am up there 5 years ago, 6 years ago. What an unbelievable piece of property. You want to be checking that out when you're in the area. But back to being a disaster, which is this week, 6.5 hour rounds of golf. This would be, if I were a PGA Tour player, my least favorite kind of event to be playing. And you take that into account. Now, the weather, this place is going to be, I take back everything I said, because the weather can play a huge difference in terms of your attitude when you're dealing with a bunch of amateurs. If it's playing windy and wet and difficult, you're not going to have a whole lot of fun. You get this crazy marine layer that comes in and overshadows everything there on 18-mile drive. You want to go up and visit. There's no doubt about it. But in terms of golf quality for a professional golfer who does this week in, week out, you're going to have a lot longer rounds of golf than normal. You're playing three courses. We have a 54-hole cut standard field here. But 54-hole cut, that is not standard. That is exactly what we just dealt with at the American Express, a three-course rotation. And as you look at them, Pebble Beach, par 72, by far the most famous of the three, up to 7,000 yards, so shorter. I mean, it's a shorter golf course, but it still has teeth because, just start saying it now. Drink every time they say smallest greens on tour, because they're the smallest greens on tour and in the U.S. Open rotation, and they are very small. You go out there and you're standing on it, and it's pretty wild. But again, beautiful piece of property, unbelievable place, probably my favorite place I've ever been, but not playing as difficult as it once upon a time did 15, 20 years ago. They've tried to make it more friendly to amateurs, tried to make it more of a TV spectacle with celebrities and all these things. So there you go. Enjoy watching Bill Murray be a nuisance the umpteenth year in a row. But here we go. Spyglass Hill, that is your second golf course in this rotation. Again, you're going to play 1-1-1. You're playing each one of these once, and then everybody plays Pebble Beach on Sunday. So you factor in a little bit of how that golf course plays. But Spyglass, probably my favorite of the three, considering I've walked on every single one of these, haven't played any of them, which is pretty ironic. Maury Poppy Hills qualified for U.S. four ball out there, and then didn't get to play because it was a pandemic. But either way, Spyglass Hill, par 72. It's playing the longest. I think it is definitely the most difficult. It shows up in terms of scoring average. But also, if you play that golf course when it's windy, there are some really tricky, difficult golf holes. Even the par fives, you've got some really tight approach shots on spots where I think the par fives at Pebble Beach, generally pretty gettable. Yeah, you get the tabletop greens, you get smaller greens, six very, very small there. As you're coming around on the back nine, was it 14? 14, nope, that's par five. 15 is the par five. 16, 17, nope, I had it right the first time. Should have gone with my gut, 14. But looking at Spyglass Hill, yeah, you get some back nine par fives that aren't necessarily the most gettable. And if it plays wet, windy, that front nine, which is pretty much all going towards the ocean, you have one going down the hill, dogleg left par five, the easiest hole on that front. They've got another easy par five coming up later on that front nine, but two goes straight up a hill par four. Three is the signature hole out there, goes down towards the beach, straight up a cliff. But if you're hitting that into a 20-mile-an-hour wind, it is just not a very fun golf hole to be playing. Why do I tell you this? Because it's fun, and I like to, you know, generate rapport with my people here. But Monterey Peninsula Country Club, it's the one I'm the least familiar with. It's the one that I've walked the least. However, you know, once again, saw my buddy get engaged there. Par 71, up to 69.50. This is the easiest of the three. If you're playing Showdown, you can pretty blindly say if you have good players playing MPCC, that's why I put MPCC there, that is going to be a course that you want to give a bump to. I say this, though, this is not like a La Quinta Country Club situation. I will still play Showdown where I have Pebble Beach and Spyglass exposure. I will definitely be playing Pebble Beach, Spyglass, and Monterey Peninsula Country Club in conjunction, especially because, generally speaking, the best players, when these tee times get announced, you're Jordan Spieth because he's AT&T sponsored, you're Maverick McNealy, you're Matt Fitzpatrick. I would be shocked if not every single one of them was playing at Pebble Beach on Saturday so that they can just jump back over there on Sunday. It's kind of an unfair deal that's set up. I think it screwed over Seamus Power a little bit last year. He was playing the easiest of the three courses with a five-shot lead going into Saturday. Didn't play very well at MPCC after he had generated a pretty big lead coming off of Pebble and Spyglass. Lost the momentum, still put up a T10, but we'll talk about him. Definitely going to be a target for me like he will be for a lot of people. But I don't bring up the skill set portion of this. I just wanted to start with that because I think it's very true that many different types of players can win this event. And there's going to be a luck element to the tee time draw, to how these golf courses are playing, that are just difficult things to account for. But traditionally speaking, strokes gained approach is the one that everybody factors in. And I already factored in more than just about anybody off the tee. You can definitely mine out a couple of nice pieces here and there for you too. But per usual on these shows, I'm going to take you over to the top golfers tool here at Stokastic. Let me stop my screen there. Let me present this. See, I promise, this. There's got to be an easier way than this, but I haven't figured it out yet. Here we go. Add to stream. Look at this. This is the best tool in the golf industry. Let me just refresh this, make sure. But Alex just put a nice, clean update into it for me. Thank you, Alex Baker, the boss man, Osmo himself. Pretty good at the old fantasy sports, so probably want to be following his tools and content for sure. But let's scroll to the top here. I don't want to give you everything for free, but let's cover a couple of the top golfers in this field. We have Jordan Spieth. He has phenomenal course history. You're going to hear about it a million times. He's sponsored by AT&T, which sounds stupid to say that you would think about it, but like, even if things go south for him, he's going to grind out a good finish. He does not want to be with the spectators on Sunday, even though that would be a very unlikely outcome for him to like miss a cut or something. But you're looking at Jordan Spieth, who has had wins. He's gone second and T3 the last 2 years, along with a T9 in 2020. So that's three consecutive top tens. He's 10-6, and he's garnering positive leverage. If that maintains, I'm going to have a very difficult time not clicking that button. And then trust me, if you've ever watched me on PGA Live Before Lock over the course of the last 2 years, you know I am not a Jordan Spieth guy. I have never been a Jordan Spieth guy. I will never be a Jordan Spieth guy, but I will be a Jordan Spieth guy at Pebble Beach for a week in the event that people don't want to click on it. Again, he's 10-6. This is a little bit different than the Rahm situation we had last week, where I just think there's more playable players in this 7-8K range just because of the quality of field. It's not very good. It's a very poor, poor field, very top-heavy. So you give me the guy who is indebted to the sponsors, gets paid a boatload of money from them, and has really good course history because it's about scrambling. It's about iron play. You don't have to go out and bomb it, although if you bomb it, where does that actually hurt you? Nowhere is the answer. Feel rather good about Jordan Spieth with positive leverage. We feel very foolish if we get there and this optimal percentage, you know, 15.7, he ends up being 20% owned. So I will be paying close attention. But I think it might actually hold true, because the next two guys, if I were blindly picking two players to win this event, just blindly, not looking at odds, which don't look at odds, because this is one of the more unbettable golf tournaments I've seen in a long time. I'm going to bet some guys 100-1, 150-1. I just will. But looking at Victor Hovland and Matt Fitzpatrick, I'm a Matt Fitzpatrick stan, and we've had some weird, weird things happening with him. One, he's tried to gain a lot of distance of late. It's been a progress for him just to be able to compete at things. Talked about it in lieu of his U.S. Open win, but he's done a lot of speed training. It might be one of those things where, hey, you know, the rhythm's a little bit off with the irons. And generally speaking, he would be one of your best iron players in this entire field. But he's kind of flipped the script on his head. He's third in strokes gained off the tee in his last 50 rounds amongst this field. He's 67th in strokes gained approach over his last 50 rounds. But you have to take this into account. Three tournaments that he just nuked. Yeah, the word is nuked over the course of the summer. The U.S. Open, Genesis Scottish Open, Open Championship finished 21st. They didn't have strokes gained data. That's a big deal. When you win a U.S. Open, yeah, unbelievable bunker shot to seal it on 18 out there in old Massachusetts in Boston. I feel really, really confident that if you looked at that U.S. Open strokes gained data with irons, might have been an issue, because it would be breaking a slate. Everybody would be clicking on him more than they already are, because everybody's going to be clicking on him. Second guy for me here is Victor Hovland, sitting at the top end. And if you, just in the same way everybody's going to bring up small greens, I can promise you, 2018 U.S. Amateur going to get brought up a million times if he's in contention over the course of this weekend. U.S. Amateur, the most prestigious golf tournament you can play in if you're somebody like me, an amateur competitive golfer, that is the ticket. Gets you into all of the great things, the Masters, the U.S. Open, whatever else. In 2018, Victor Hovland converted a W in the U.S. Amateur, kind of set his career in motion. He was already a top golfer at Oklahoma State, but looking at a lot of his strokes gained data, my big question mark for him is how he's going to do around the greens. That's always the question with him, but 124th in terms of stroke gain around the green. These are small greens, and if you aren't just striping it, you got to be getting it up and down. Now, this is not going to be U.S. Open conditions unless you just get wind rocking, but they're surely not going to set it up like a U.S. Open or even like the U.S. Amateur, because the U.S. Amateur would be set up extremely difficult under these conditions here. But I do think having that course history and knowing that he went out and converted to W is a plus. Now, that's match play for a majority of it. There's a lot of guys that I'm sure play pretty well that you've never heard of at the top of that leaderboard. It wasn't a metal play, it wasn't stroke play out at Pebble. You're doing that for two rounds, and then you're playing match play for five, six rounds of golf, depending on if you get to that championship match. But I'm looking at Victor Hovland just in terms of a ball striker, somebody who, if he hits 16 greens, probably not going to matter that he can't chip to save his life. So I am going to be pretty interested in trying to figure out what to do with those two, Victor Hovland and Matt Fitzpatrick. But I want to highlight optimal percentage leverage that we have going their direction. 20.1% optimal percentage, that is the highest in the entire golf tournament for Victor Hovland. So maybe just finding ways to more shares of him and fewer of Matt Fitzpatrick, even though personally I don't know what to do with myself, because Fitzpatrick, I've thought, is one of the most underrated golfers for the last 3 or 4 years. You can putt the lights out of it at any given point. And then just the iron play is always pretty consistent. I think we're going to see that bounce back again. Third in strokes again off the tee. Pretty wild to see him flip the script. If he starts bombing it, he's going to be a very dangerous player throughout this season. I'm going to be paying close attention to that data very early on, but considering the weakness of this field, he's not going to go overlooked. Last guy to really talk about, I'm not going to talk about Tom Hoge. He won this event last year. Good for him. I'm very happy that Tom Hoge won this. Came off of a 12th and 21, so he did have good course history coming into it. His 1 year sample size, but a 10K Tom Hoge, probably not my favorite thing to be doing. And sometimes that means you should be doing it, but I'm seeing negative leverage. He's not my target. Matt McNealy, this kid's a billionaire. His dad, Google it. Very, very rich. Life is good. But Maverick McNealy, Stanford kid, he's just an absolute stud and can putt the lights out of it as well. If you get in a glorified putting showdown here in a spot that he's familiar with, I think he lives in the area. Don't quote me on that. But a Maverick McNealy, for sure, 15.3% ownership for him, 9,600. If I'm playing cash, there's no way that I'm not going to have Maverick McNealy as a part of that. Probably not going to be doing it this week. I actually thought about it. I'm probably just going to be sticking to the rivers and the lakes that I'm used to, also known as large field GPPs and 3-max. But that is your 10K salary range up at the top. Wanted to cover that in the top golfers tool and show you. Hovland and Fitzpatrick, I'm very nervous. If I have to, for pure ownership reasons, this is going to be a painful, painful week. I can feel it coming. But let's look at the top leveraged players in the top golfers tool, shall we? And check this out. Hit the like button too as we're going. But Ryan Palmer, 7,500 for him. We generally think of him as the Texas Bomber. Oh, he's won. You know, he teamed up with Rom to win a two-man event. Hey, man, keep your card any way you can. Enjoy it. But kind of a weird spot to be seeing him as the most leveraged golfer. More of an off-the-tee guy, for my money, Ryan Palmer is. 62nd at the Farmers, but he had an 82. Shot 82 that final round. I think that kind of ballooned it. If you had seen him shoot 70, you know, just find a way to shoot 4 under and get out of there, you would see him carrying a lot more ownership this week than what he currently is. Right now, 1.3% owned. One bad round of golf does not a bad golfer make. And sometimes my favorite strategy is to find these guys who have that terrible Sunday where they just go dysfunctional and forget what holding a club feels like. We've all been there. If we play competitive golf, it just disappears for a day and then you go on living your life. But I think three really good rounds that he had at Torrey Pines, 71, 71, 70, leading into it, at least has some decent form. T32 at Sony to start off his season. Came off some missed cuts at the tail end of last season. But again, somebody that I think is an all right target and a highlighted guy from Ryan Palmer. But I'm going to skip Webb Simpson, which just makes me sick because, again, Webb Simpson, how far he has fallen, poor guy. But Doug Yim, 6,900. This kid out of Texas was somebody that I had starred, highlighted. Hasn't really caught fire the way that a Victor Hovland, well, surely not a Victor Hovland, but even other guys who, you know, Maverick McNealy was somebody that he was competing with at the college level. And Doug Yim was consistently the guy to beat at that level. And what does he do? He stripes it. He can just stripe it from time to time. So Doug Gimlet, if you will, the Gim Reaper, as he's affectionately known on other shows. Strokes gained off the tee, 11th. Approach has been a little down, so that's not too super exciting to see. But around the green putting, not ideal. But in terms of $6,900 golfers, there isn't a lot that is all that appealing, even though we've seen a lot of players smother me timbers sitting there at 6,700. Peter Melnati. It's one of those weeks where you definitely can take some shots down there. Somebody's going to pop sub 7K. It's just so hard to know who it's going to be. I find the 7 and 8K range at least appealing enough that I'm going to be avoiding getting to a lot of those cheapies at the bottom end. But in terms of positive leverage, another guy pulling it. Last dude, Harry Hicks, 7,100. Probably going to be a cheap 7K range when we finish out the show and I build out a single entry team. I am considering Harry Hicks for it. Now, that might sound very, very disturbing, disgusting, not ideal. I talked about him a little bit last week, but this is just a hot, cold guy who's had really good coastal track history, which, I mean, this is a different kind of coastal track. You're playing at sea level in 50-degree weather as opposed to at Punta Cana in 90-degree and humid weather. But the fact remains, him, Joel Dahmen, both kind of fit that mold of dudes who are just like your once-upon-a-time 1990s PGA professional golfer, and just another guy that I think is going to have some success at some random spots. Might as well take the shot on a 7,100 Harry Higgs when he's positively leveraged, and nobody's going to click on the button. Obviously, what is he right now? 0.4% owned? Yeah, there's a lot of options here. Erik van Rooyen, Minnesota's finest. Well, actually, South Africa's finest, and then went to the University of Minnesota. But I digress. Lots of different guys that we can take some shots on. Justin Rose pulling some positive leverage. He's actually garnering ownership, so I don't really factor him in the same way. And Ben Griffin. Just start playing Ben Griffin every week. Just play Ben Griffin every week. That's all I've got for you there. Alrighty, y'all. Let's jump over to Fantasy Cruncher. And I didn't even know necessarily what I wanted to talk about with you guys to do my Fantasy Cruncher specific stuff this week. But I figured I'd kind of find it out on the run, wouldn't I? But either way, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. We are now 20 minutes in. We're already 20 minutes into this. Where's the time gone? Are you having fun? I'm having fun. If you're having fun, come join me in that premium Discord. Boom, boom. So many great times, so little opportunity to just, you know, sign up and hang out with these fine people, myself included. Use promo code ELINSIDER. Get you that first week completely free. What you know about that? Gonna be good stuff. Let's add this to stream. Let's stop this. Oop. See, I'm gonna figure this out one of these days. Today's just not gonna be that day. Let's jump to, we wanna get rid of this. We wanna add this back, which again, I don't know why I have to like X out of that, but such is life. And now we add this to screen. Ho, Fantasy Cruncher. As you can see, a lot of data that's missing. So I'm gonna remove average statistics, strokes gained. I don't really ever look at that. Sometimes you can just group it. I grouped it the one week where I just showed you how to maybe go about building a group. Oh, check that out. That was that's the other tour event. That's DP World Tour. I think Rasmus Højgaard is a bajillion. He's just a huge favorite for that one. But let's jump to this. All right. We've got tee times not available here yet, but let's start talking about how to group your top players here, because we know Hovland and Fitzpatrick are going to be very, very popular. Look at that. Pretty high projections. I'm giving you the goods pretty much for free right now. How fortunate for you. But we can see just how popular they're going to be, the two most popular 10K players. I probably don't want to have combinations of these two together. I'm going to click the unlike Fitzpatrick Hovland. Is there a good chance that you could see them both together? Sure. But I think the times that they're going to show up in the same lineup are just too rich for my blood. If we just standard make a lineup, we've got Hovland, Fitzpatrick. They show up in our optimal. This is our optimal. Bo Hostler's in our optimal. Oh, let's go. Let's go, Bo. That's my dude. He murdered me here in Southern California. It was really painful having to play the SCGA amateur against him every year. Really, really good. Not surprising. They're all good on the PGA Tour. Will Gordon making his way into the optimal, but let's do this. Let's build out 10 lineups. And I just want you to see how many people are going to be rotating these two guys around. Victor Fitz, Victor Fitz, Victor Fitz, Victor Fitz, Victor Fitz. Look at this. 190% of our optimals are showing up with Fitzpatrick and Hovland. Now, are they going to be that popular? No, but they're going to be extremely popular together. And if you're new to Fantasy Cruncher, you can go ahead and skip this. We're going to go to the single entry build spot, but there are so many different groups that I like to build for this. I'll build based on skill type. I'll build groups based on tee time. And then the last thing that we look at is creating a group. Now, you can auto create a group, and that's a conversation for a different day for those of you who have Fantasy Cruncher Pro. But I'm going to say, at most, one player of Fitzpatrick Hovland. Super easy step that I just took. I just simply took the top two players, Fitzpatrick and Hovland, that were up there that are the most popular players here. And I said, I want to just have a group of lineups at most one in this group. Now, if you want to just disable the group and just change it so that it's like, you know, you could just change it between, just delete the group at that point. But you could basically disable all groups. There you go. And you can enable them back. So if you want to crunch out some lineups that do have both of them, be my guest, be my guest, put my service to the test. But otherwise, I'm going to go here. And I'm not even going to touch the randomness here. I just want you to see that the overall difference between these 10 lineups and these 10 lineups for people who are blindly using Cruncher in one spot, look at this. Fitzpatrick, 80%. 20% Hovland. Now, it's definitely showing that there's a little bit of a lean. I mean, it's just based on pure projection. If we were to change the randomness, you're getting a little bit different considering he's at 90.13, 90.09. It's going to take the guy with the higher projection. There you are. But I am seeing some better lineups in terms of ownership. Let's sort these lineups based on the ownership. Projected ownership that we have going here at Stochastic. Probably the best ownership you're going to find week in, week out. But look at this. Ownership, 138.9 all the way up to 120, or all the way down to 127.3. So you're looking at a pretty interesting range there. 147.4 to 137.7. Just by simply having a group where I'm not going to play the two together and I get the fear, the FOMO, missing out. Oh, no. What if they're both going to finish 1-2? Not saying it can't happen, but the chances of it happening are very, very unlikely in a sport like golf. We want to think about a range of outcomes. There's going to be a lot of ways to get different. And even if you get a first and an eighth out of the two specifically, there's going to be paths where they don't end up optimal together. But you have to compete against so many combinations of Fitzpatrick and Hovland specifically. And when you have ownership coming in like it is this week, where they are by far, the two most popular players. We're talking over 30%. Everybody else sub 24% on the entire slate. Find ways to build better lineups. Simply not having them together. You could play both of them. You could have, you know, I'm not saying you have to have 80. You could have 50 and 50. But build better lineups. I want to avoid combinations of the two, unless, and you can add stipulations, and we'll talk about that on a different episode, one that doesn't go for half an hour here. But find ways to build better lineups. That is my quick and easy trick for how to use Fantasy Cruncher to give yourself access to some better Fitzpatrick and Hovland lineups. Hit that like button, subscribe button, notification bell. We're going to round it all out with DraftKings.com. I'm going to talk through my single entry, my favorite place to be looking at in the 10K range. We can talk about them compared to ownership. For sure. Share screen. DraftKings. Let's go. And over we go. Add to stream. There it is. Elindy4. Check me out on DK. If you want to send me some head-to-heads, we can have some fun this week because I might actually play cash. I'm talking myself into it, but talked about it at the front end. I don't want to have to click Jordan Spieth. I don't. I really, really, really don't. So I'm not going to for this click. I'm going to go to Hovland. US Amateur. Maybe the juju's good around these greens, but again, he's the kind of guy who just might not miss greens because he is that damn good at ball striking, and there you are. I think he will come in lower on than Fitzpatrick for what it's worth, even ever so slightly. And then the Spieths, you know who you are. You all know who you are. Completely get it. But the reason I'm going to go to Hovland, not Mr. Jordan Spieth there, Seamus Power is a guy I have a lot of interest this week. Look at Andrew Putnam, 9,700. I swear to God, if this dude ends up being the nuke that you need, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble because I'm not an Andrew Putnam guy. This was tilting. I did not enjoy the beginning of my season, that's for damn sure. But look at Seamus Power. I mean, the guy has just been outrageous in the Butterfield Bermuda. There it is. First, he has his tour card for an entire year, and he just was on fire. And I go back to this tournament last year. Seamus Power found a way to win. I would probably be in Punta Cana right now just hanging out with my little umbrella drink. But alas, he couldn't convert that ticket for me, even though he was thrashing again. I think he was up 5 shots going into that Saturday round. Things fell apart at, of all places, MPCC on a nice day. But that is the way golf works from time to time. But Seamus Power, the Irishman, does everything. Just everything across the board pretty darn well. I'm going to have a ton of interest clicking on him compared to other guys in his range. Strokes game, short game is just unbelievable. He's a great putter, great chipper of the golf ball. Probably need the irons to improve a little bit compared to the field if you're going to see him compete again. But I have a feeling that getting the tour card, locking it up here at the Butterfield Bermuda during the fall swing, that is going to give him a lot of ammunition. I know that he won the Barbasol in 2021, but anyway, it was a great finish to his season. I think he comes in hot right off the bat. Good to see him again. Glad that we can finally click on Seamus Power again. He hasn't played this year. Oh, he played at Abu Dhabi. That doesn't count. Yeah, it does. It's probably a better field than a lot of other things. But talked about Joel Dahman before. He's up to 9K. Pretty wild to see him at 9K. I am going to have some interest there. But for the interest, just playing some good golf. Scoreboard watching. That's what we're doing here. It's not what we're supposed to do. But let's talk about David Lipsky for a sec. He had that T4 out in Hawaii. That was a little bit tilting as well. Again, just missed the boat on my dude, David. That was kind of a bummer to me. He is a tee-to-green monster for the most part, ball striking all the way around. The big thing for him is just finding a way to get the flat stick to be totally somewhat relevant. 91st in strokes game putting here. But you get this Poana-type green surfaces out here on Pebble Beach, and I think it can neutralize pretty quickly. I think I just want to be taking some more pure ball strikers. I'm going to have a couple of just builds where I go Hovland, Power, Lipsky. Like, that is really what I'm kind of looking at building out. So I'm definitely looking at Hovland, Lipsky as a combination that makes some sense. Pure ball striking guys who might not have the putter going, but if they're playing slower, not as, you know, if it's not as important part, putting's always an important part of the game, but probably overlooked by me more than it should be from time to time, hence why I'm not getting to my dude Jordan Spieth with very much vigor, if you will. So we've got 72-33 left. I think Bo Hosser becomes a pretty easy click for me, 71-50. Now, he goes more into the short game category than just about anybody else that is on that board right now. He is third in strokes game putting. But that short game overall, 8th strokes game, short game over the course of his last 50 rounds. Find a way to be competent with the irons. It's been really, really brutal here of late. But as you're starting to get into this 7K range, maybe a better play is actually going to Russell Knox, is if I'm going to like the pure ball striking type build here. So we had Ryan Palmer, talked about him earlier. He's an all right click there too, but 7,500, Benny on, like, these are good targets, really good targets. If you're trying to find that one piece of differentiation, Kurt Kadayama, pretty wild to see him now at 7,500. I thought he was a little bit more expensive the previous weeks, but again, why would we have salary over on the left-hand side? That would be just way too convenient. But yeah, Russell Knox, I think he's probably the better fit for this specific style of build. Power fits well with just about any build, but yeah, Hovland, Lipsky, Knox. Let's round it all together with a 6K play that you can get behind. Do not go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and lakes you're used to. If you play Jimmy Walker this week and he actually pans out for you, I really don't know what to say about life, but I'm going to finish it all out with Sung You'll Know. This is a guy that I think overall I've played more than the average bear in my lifetime. 6,800 in this kind of a field. These are the kind of shots that I'm going to take in the outright markets. These are the kind of shots I want you to be taking in the outright markets. And that kind of makes anybody like that a really good target in a small field, single entry type deal where it's that one piece to get you away from a really popular target. And I didn't want to give you all of the goods, but like a Will Gordon, Nick Hardy, those guys are pulling tons of ownership at 7,600, 7,700. Matt Neesmith, and I get it. They're really, really good. But Sungyeon Kim, a guy that I, at 7,600, I'm going to be playing some. I think he pairs also nicely. Sungyeon, you'll know. Pretty darn good player overall. I think he's just not properly priced compared to the rest of the field. And Satoshi Kodaira, I thought about being a recommend, but for the most part, you have a lot of dudes, some other May Timbers coming back into my lives, but lots of options, lots of ways to get a little bit different. 7,400, you could click on that hustler, you could click on a lot of things, but don't want to give you an entire lineup. Just wanted to give you a target, somebody that I'm considering there at the bottom end. Sungil Noh overall, just another around the green putting type dude. Goes with hustler a little bit more, but again, you can diversify lots of different types of players that are going to be successful. Maybe not all five of these together if I'm trying to get a little bit different in terms of builds, but you're going to have somebody that has a different type of ability that shows up. So Sungil Noh goes with hustler, goes with some of these other short game artists if it's going to be windy, if you need to be getting up and down from some tight spots, if the rough's a little bit longer, playing more difficult than you think, there's ways that can pan out for you. So keep thinking about those things. Lots of places you can get that data. And of course, the Top Golfers tool, the best thing, the best place you can get positive leverage on some golfers. Really done a great job of highlighting some studs here of late. So let's keep that going. Hit that like button as we get out of here. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That is the AT&T. Whew, 34 minutes? That was wild. That was an amazing show, though. I hope you enjoyed it. Talking through the AT&T. Don't forget, three different courses. It's going to be wild. This is a weird golf tournament. I wish Pebble Beach was showcased a little bit better than it is. But this is the field that we were given. That's all we can do is click on these individuals and do the best that we can. And don't forget, sign up over at PrizePicks using promo code STOCHASTIC. That's all. Get $100 for a smash deposit bonus. I am finally leaving. I'm Eric Lindquist. Best of luck in the golf streets this weekend.
We all know a guy who only occasionally shaves for big occasions, and it's because that occasional shave really hurts. It's the time of year for big occasions, and yet there he is, suffering with that cheap drugstore razor. Let's help him out. Henson Shaving's line of razors, built with aerospace precision, deliver a smooth shave your dad, brother, and even son can enjoy, eventually. With replacement blades just 10 cents each, you'll buy it once, and they'll use it for life. How's that for the perfect gift? Celebrate with 100 free blades on your first purchase, and no subscription headaches. HensonShaving.com/holiday.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.